This morning, we are going to, I have several questions that we'll answer. The first question, we're going to ask the questions, then we're going to pull up a lot of verses this morning to prove the questions. The first question is, does God exist? Is the Bible true? And are the scriptures true? These are the three things that I would like to talk about this morning, because growing up in the truth as a young child, it's, you know, everything is based, again, like everything that we do is based on faith. You know, we don't see Jesus, we don't see God, but we do have this Bible. But did the Bible and the scriptures come from our Father? Or was it just a book as the bestseller and everyone just reads it and has that individual hope that it's real? So let's turn to Hebrews 11. We're going to start with Hebrews 11 with the patriarchs. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made, which are the things made of, things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before him translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, knowing, being warned of God of these things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heirs of the righteousness which is by faith. We're going to stop right there for a second. You know, verse 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible is God's instruction to mankind. He expects all who are willing to read the Bible to prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. He expects us to dig deep on any subject that we study. That's why there's an Old and New Testament, that we're supposed to go back, flip back and forth, find, you know, not take my word for it, not take another brother's word for it like these other churches do when they get up and they speak and, you know, don't even open up your Bibles because what I'm telling you is true. You don't have to look it up. You know, just like what Brother Max said earlier, we're not perfect. We don't know everything. You know, we're learning every day, you know, and it's just like I tell, you know, in my business, once you stop learning, you've stopped working. Let's turn to the beginning. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. Does God exist? We're going to start with that question. Like I said, we're going to turn up a lot of chapters to prove these points. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You know, evolution has creeped into a lot of people's lives to where they, you know, in science, the Big Bang Theory, to where I'm trying to still understand it, but it's hard to understand when you don't believe it, that this could happen in the things that we see around us every day, the beautiful gifts that we're afforded, that we see, are caused by Big Bang Theory. How animals survive in the water, how creatures can fly, how they're perfectly designed. You know, from the hawk to the eagle to, this just didn't happen. This just wasn't a happenstance. It just happened. This was by God's almighty hand. You know, these things that we see, the trees, the, you know, the oxygen from the trees, the, you know, without trees there would be no life. I mean, there's steps in place that God has created for us that this just didn't just happen. You know, the flood of Noah. You know, people can't imagine the waters being so high that they're finding seashells on top of mountains. Well, the word seashell is self-explanatory. Seashells are from the sea. They're not from the tops of mountains. So, you know, the science will find this, but then they want to justify something else. Instead of staying on track of how it really is, they want to try to justify how these mountains have all these seashells on them. We'll continue in Hebrews. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and a discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let's turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, which whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The Father of lights here refers to God who created the lights that rule day and seasons. We can find that in Genesis chapter 1. We turn there, Genesis chapter 1. Verses 14 through 19. Genesis chapter 1, 14 through 19. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in a firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Let's turn to John, excuse me, John chapter 4. Before I read that, I want to read something that I found about concerning his creation. The earth. Its size is perfect. The earth's size and corresponding gravity holds a thin layer of mostly nitrogen and oxygen gases, only extending about 50 miles above the earth's surface. If it were smaller, an atmosphere would be impossible, like the planet Mercury. If the earth were larger, its atmosphere would contain free hydrogen, like Jupiter. Earth is the only known planet equipped with an atmosphere of the right mixture of gases to sustain planet and animal and human life. The Earth is located the right distance from the sun. Consider the temperature swings we encounter, roughly 30 degrees to 120 degrees. If the Earth were any further away from the sun, we would all freeze. Any closer, and we would burn up. Even a fractional variance in the Earth's position to the sun would make life on Earth impossible. The Earth remains this perfect distance from the sun while it rotates around the sun at a speed of nearly 67,000 miles per hour. It is also rotating on its axis, allowing the entire surface of the Earth to be properly warmed and cooled every day. And our moon is a perfect size and distance from the Earth for its gravitational pull. The moon creates important ocean tides and movement so ocean waters do not stagnate. And yet, our massive oceans are restrained from spilling over across the continents. The water. Water is colorless, odorless, and without taste. And yet, no living thing can survive without it. Plants, animals, human beings consist mostly of water. About two-thirds of the human body is water. You'll see why the characteristics of water are uniquely suited to life. It has a wide margin between the boiling point and freezing point. Water allows us to live in an environment of fluctuating temperature changes while keeping our bodies a steady 98.6 degrees. Water is a universal solvent. This property of water means that various chemicals, minerals, and nutrients can be carried throughout our bodies and into the smallest blood vessels. Water is also chemically neutral without affecting the makeup of the substance it carries. Water enables food, medicines, and minerals to be absorbed and used by the body. Water has a unique surface tension. Water and plants can therefore flow upward against gravity, bringing the life-giving water and nutrients to the top of even the tallest trees. Water freezes from the top down and floats, so fish can live in the water. 90% of the Earth's water is in the oceans. But on Earth, there is a system designed which removes salt from the water and then distributes the water throughout the globe. Evaporation takes the ocean's water, leaving the salt, and forms clouds which are easily moved by the wind to disperse water over the land for vegetation, animals, and people. It is a system of purification and supply that sustains life on this planet, a system of recycled and reused water. So I don't think, reading all that, that it just happened. God had his hand in everything that is being done. There's no record, or, in my opinion, sustainability to prove that a Big Bang theory would cause that much information to be too precise. It's precise to the point. There is no fluctuation. Just like I said, if the moon was closer, if the earth was farther, if all this is perfect. And that's a good word to use, because it is perfect. It's from God's creation. It's from his hand that created how we sustain life here. It's not from a evolution, Big Bang theory, or however you want to call it. That didn't happen. So in John 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in a spirit and in truth. Numbers 23, verse 19. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 reads, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. He has said, he shall not do it, or hath he spoken, and he shall be not make it good. Psalms 50, verse 6. Psalms 50, verse 6. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself, Selah. Psalms 116, verse 5. Psalms 116, verse 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. Psalms 84, 11 and 12. Psalms 84, verses 11 and 12. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. Lord of hosts, blessed is a man that trusteth in thee. Psalm 33. Psalms 33, verses 11 and 13. 11 through 13. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. Exodus 34, verses 5 and 7. Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 and 7, or 5 through 7. And the Lord described in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed the Lord, God merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercies for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will be no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And the last one on this one will be Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5 through 19. Isaiah 45, starting with verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, why makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou, or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker, ask me of the things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands commanded ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. And I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city. He shall let go my captives, not from price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabians, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. Thou shalt come after thee in chains, thou shalt come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is thee, and there is none else. There is no God. Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to the confusion together that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. I believe we have determined the first question, does God exist? And that answer would be yes. I want to go into the scriptures. 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 14. But But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And we're going to turn to two more. Let's turn, while we're on this side, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 35. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. And the last one, Proverbs 30. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. The Bible indicates God's word is a prophecy contained within its pages. The Bible contains hundreds of detailed prophecies relating to the future of individual nations, including Israel, certain cities, and mankind. Other prophecies concern the coming of one who would be the Messiah. There are over 300 prophecies concerning Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Not only was it foretold where he would be born and his lineage, but also how he would die and that he would rise again. There simply is no logical way to explain the fulfilled prophecies in the Bible other than by divine origin. So at this point, to answer the questions, is God true? Does the Bible exist? Are the scriptures? Yes. It's all found here. This is our. Hate, you know, I use a code book in my plumbing, and it's an interpretation of how people read this. It doesn't change. It doesn't change with modern times. It doesn't fit. We're not to change scripture to fit our particular circumstance that happens in life, that we have to try to make fit. That's not what it's designed for. The only person that can change it is one person. And I'm pretty sure that there's not going to be any changes, because it was perfect when it was written. It was inspired by God. It was written. It was through him that we have this 66 books of the Bible for study. Let's turn to Genesis 12. Genesis chapter 12. Verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. God promises that the land of Israel was to be for Abraham and his descendants. Just as it was foretold in Genesis 3:15 that there will be a Savior. These are all prophecies, just like prophecies in Daniel, Ezekiel, and many others that are in the Bible, that proves with no doubt that this Bible and God is true. There are things that were foretold thousands of years ago that have been fulfilled before they even happened. And that was through the divine of God. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. Isaiah 11, verses 11 and 12. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up a sign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Let's also turn to Psalm 147. Psalms 147, verse 2. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathered together the outcasts of Israel. So what God said in Genesis 12, 7 is going to happen. His people will reign in Israel. In closing, I want to read Psalms 130 and 125. We'll start with 125. Psalm 125. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people, from henceforth even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as are turned aside into their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. And then finally, Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine eyes be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shall mark us iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Thank you. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, including the commandments of Christ and the doctrines to be rejected. We will continue into memorial with the singing of hymn 153. By Christ redeemed and Christ restored, we keep the memory adored and show the death of our dear Lord until he come. 153.